Shop Woodhouse Mazda first and experience the Woodhouse difference. At Woodhouse Mazda, we make car buying simple. From the Mazda CX-9 to the Mazda 3, we are sure to have something that fits your needs. Visit one of our two convenient locations in Omaha to shop our showroom or take it.
All right, welcome back in the Gary Sharp Show. We apologize a little late here with Dirk as we welcome in Dirk Chatelain from the World Herald. Sorry about that, Dirk. Thanks for adjusting. What do you think tomorrow is going to be like? What do you think the emotion of tomorrow will be like? The coverage will be like? The reaction will be like?
Wow, where do I start? Okay, so first of all, I think tomorrow would be a great time to play Illinois or Rutgers or somebody like that, right? Like Big Ten schedule 2.0 or 3.0, whatever it was, when Rutgers was the opener. I think that would have felt fairly natural. This is going to be odd just because I think on one hand, it's going to feel like such a relief to see some sense of fall Saturday normalcy. And on the other hand, you're going to, you know, about the time you feel that on your TV, you know, Justin Fields is gonna throw a ball that Nebraska can't cover, and it might get out of hand. So I don't know. It's going to be strange. I think in some ways, it even if they get drilled tomorrow, there's going to be a sense of relief that Nebraska's playing again. And I don't know. Honestly, the emotion that I think that I personally will have is watching this. And again, I think this is obviously dependent on how Nebraska does. And if Nebraska has a great season, I think that changes things. If they beat Ohio State, if they beat Wisconsin, whatever. But I do think there's going to be kind of an emptiness to it or a different perspective on it. And I hope that doesn't come across that I don't care, because I absolutely care what happens. But I just think it's going to be people are not going to feel it as much as they typically feel it. I think they're going to respond to the fact that they're playing. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're going to live and die with every game, with every drive, in the same way that they did before. Or if they do, it's going to be a smaller portion of the fan base who does that. So as it relates to tomorrow, I think that probably means that people will accept a loss in a way that they may not have a year ago.
So is there an expectation for this season, do you think?
You know, you and I have talked about this a couple different times, but I just think it's almost a no-lose scenario for Nebraska. I mean, as much as it's ever been in my life, because, you know, if they're terrible, it's just 8 or 9 games. It doesn't feel like a super legitimate season anyway. I think you can kind of wash that away pretty quickly. If they're really good, I think it sets you up for a potentially huge 2021.
Yep.
I think that, you know, because of so many games, so many tough games early in the season where nobody expects Nebraska to win, if they can win even one of those, I think it's going to feel like a big deal for the program. So obviously there's a downside. I mean, they could lose by 50 tomorrow, but I think Nebraska is really in a position to, you know, to take some things from this season. And it's not just the fact that they're playing. I think it's, if they accomplish anything of note, if they go 4-4 with this schedule, I think people are going to look at, you know, next fall and say, hey, this is a program on the rise. So more than most years, more than almost any year I can remember, I think this is sort of a no-lose proposition for Nebraska.
How do you think the national coverage is of Nebraska? I mean, you know, you have to earn your publicity, but what do you think the coverage is like nationally, and how would that change if you won one of those games against a ranked team this year, beat somebody you weren't supposed to?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think there's going to be a portion of people who are very eager to kick Nebraska while they're down. That's not a shock.
That could happen tomorrow quickly if you fall behind. I mean, you know, we know what snarky Twitter look like.
Prepare yourself for snark when it comes to Nebraska. But I think that people are sort of waiting for Frost to justify all the all the positivity that he generated, you know, 3 years ago. And I do think there's sort of an expectation that that's still going to happen eventually. You know, I don't consider someone who got lucky or who didn't earn it. I think he's got the pedigree and the reputation where people are still sort of expecting Nebraska will eventually get back, maybe not all the way back, but certainly into a position where they're contending with Wisconsin and Iowa and Minnesota. So, you know, I think in some ways it will be, oh, if Nebraska does well, I think it'll be like, oh, finally, about time. But I would encourage people to take that as a little bit of a compliment because, you know, I think Nebraska is the source of a great deal of mockery, but I think there is still enough reputation there where if they have a breakout season, people will sort of respond by saying, you know, of course, we anticipated that this was going to happen eventually.
How long, and I said that I tried to describe this earlier in the week. You know, Ohio State is Ohio State, and since Urban Meyer showed up in Columbus, the program has taken off, and they don't appear to be missing anything with the transition to Ryan Day. And, you know, unlike Osborne to Solich or some other places, Fry to Ferentz, you know, the transition was, I mean, anybody take over what Urban Meyer left you and you could have a chance at success. But how big do you think the gap is between Ohio State and the rest of this conference?
You know, there are individual moments where you look at it and you say, okay, you know, Penn State can play with these guys or Michigan can play with these guys. But it's sort of the cumulative effect of watching them do it year after year after year. You know, they've had their hiccups where they look like an unranked team sometimes, whether, you know, it was the Purdue game a couple years ago or Iowa. But I think one thing that I admire about Ryan Day is I think he's sort of the consistency that he produced last year on a week-to-week basis was something that Urban Meyer couldn't really get that program to do. Even when they were great, they didn't have the same consistency that Ohio State did last year. And I think that's probably a little bit of Urban Meyer's personality versus Ryan Day's. I thought the Ohio State team last year was maybe the best team in the BCS, post-BCS era to not win a national championship. I mean, I think they were really, really good. And I think they're going to have, you know, the same motivational edge this year. So they're the only national title contender from the league this year. I think that's fair to say. I'd be shocked if someone else got into the playoff. And I think just based on recruiting rankings alone, you know, it's going to be hard for someone else to unseat them perennially. Mm-hmm. Maybe there will be a year here and there, but I think second place is, in terms of best program on a year-to-year basis, is a long way behind. The SEC doesn't have a gap like that between one and two. The Pac-12 doesn't have a gap like that. The ACC does with Clemson, but I think you know, the Big Ten is, everybody's got a long way to go to catch Ohio State.
I mean, so they get the they've worked themselves into the benefit of the doubt that everybody that's projecting playoffs. I mean, Ohio State's in there and they haven't played a game yet. I mean,
yeah.
some people are voting them number one in the country. They haven't played a game yet. Now they got an abundance of talent. They still got guys they got to replace from last year. I mean, kudos to them. I mean, from where that program was, because you know the only time Nebraska has beaten Ohio State, you thought, okay, they're having a transition from Tressel to who knows what, and we kind of at the time when they were here thought, okay, Urban Meyer is on the horizon. But, I mean, no one is slowing them down on and off the field. It's amazing what's going on in Columbus. I mean, that's to see it up close.
It is, and I would point this out, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think the, you know, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, to a slightly lesser extent, Oklahoma, but just the consistency at the top, we've just sort of come to take it for granted. And I was not that way 20, 30 years ago. I mean, when I was a kid, there was, I don't want to say it was volatile at the top because it's, you know, Nebraska won 9 games every year. And it was generally the same crop of 10 or 15 teams, but it wasn't the same crop of 5 teams every year. And what the consistency of winning 12, 13, 14 games a year at Ohio State, Alabama, you know, and Clemson especially, is just remarkable to me. I mean, it's, you can say, well, they get all the five-star kids and that's what they should be doing, but their ability to produce under pressure every year is really something to behold. I mean, there's just, like I said, it wasn't like that 20 years ago. I mean, I remember getting Sports Illustrated in the mail, you know, as a kid, and you look at the top 10 or top 20, and, you know, the national champion from the previous year might be ranked number 12 or number eight. And it's just, you know, now you don't even have to look at the poll. It's the same four or five teams every single year.
What did you learn? You got a new podcast, you and Niatawa, and anybody else that wants to join from the World Herald. You had T.O. on. I thought it was very enlightening. There were a couple of things that T.O. said that I had not heard before. Anything new you took? Because you guys went from 50 years ago, the 70 national championship team, all the way through up to this year's team. Anything new you learned or get an insight on how he thought this unfolded the last couple of months with the Big Ten?
Well, first of all, thanks for pointing that out. I mean, it's kind of going to be an all sports. We'll probably do it every week. It's a video podcast deal. And Osborne is obviously a great first guest. And, you know, it was fun to talk to him about, you know, recruiting Larry Frost and, you know, the trick plays that he used to run. And there was some fun stuff in there, but the Big Ten politics is just something that you can just tell Tom Osborne has so much to say. I mean, even if he doesn't necessarily reveal it all, you can read him. He's a bad poker player when it comes to, you know, what his thoughts are about the Big Ten Conference and how to handle this whole thing and the leadership, not just there, but also at the NCAA level too, I think. And, you know, I think it's really been hard for people like him, for people who love this program, who built this program, to see, you know, Nebraska sort of, I don't know what the word is, tarnished, humiliated is probably not the right word, but just sort of teased almost through this whole process when, you know, I think Osborne, like a lot of people here, feels like the fault really truly lied in the leadership position at the conference level. And, you know, he's felt the same way in the Big 12 mess 10 years ago. So, you know, I think Osborne, he's so sharp. I mean, he's just so sharp. I mean, it's just, you know, he's 83 years old.
Yep.
And he's so tuned into what's happening on a day-to-day basis. And he states his arguments very, very eloquently, but also, you know, in a way that isn't going to generate a lot of backlash or controversy. You kind of have to read between the lines on some of the things that he says. But I think he's probably as ramped up for a football season as anybody, just not only because of what's happened the last couple of months, but also because I think he'd really like to see Scott turn this thing around.
We know what the leadership was like in the Big 12 when Nebraska exited. We know what the leadership is like in the Big 10. But sticking with what he told you guys, doesn't it seem it seems completely different to me. You had Texas, who was in it for Texas. Ohio State is the beast of this conference, but Ohio State gives me more of an impression that they're in it for the betterment of the conference instead of in for the betterment of just Ohio State, which makes it a little bit different compared to the Big 12, where you had the Texas and the dysfunction at the top combined.
You're right about that. I mean, and that's just, I think, tradition. That's more of a, you know, a long-standing unity with the rest of the league. I mean, I hate to go back to 1995 here, or 1992, or whenever it was that the whole Big 12 idea started, but that was basically a made-for-media league. You know, there was no natural bond between those schools, and you compare that to the Big Ten, where not only, I think, is there a little bit more commonality between the schools, but there's also just so much history. And I think Ohio State feels a responsibility to uphold that in a way that Texas or even Oklahoma never did. And that creates, you know, I think just a better a more united league when the school at the top feels, you know, just as indebted to the other schools as they do to it. And, you know, I think we've obviously seen the pitfalls of the Big Ten leadership structure. I think it was almost laughable how everybody took a backseat to the conference office and, you know, refused to state their local position, even if it was going to, even if the Big Ten was, you know, going to cost them hundreds of million dollars by not playing football this fall. I thought it was almost cowardly for those schools to not step up and fight harder for football. But you know, I think the benefit of that is everybody's on the same page and you don't have to worry about the infighting as much as you do in a league like the Big 12.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed your chat with T.O., but here's my bigger takeaway. Can we talk about Niatawa's hair?
You know, John...
I mean, it's fantastic.
It's hard to argue against John's coolness factor. I mean, he's just got it, right? He's just got that. He's always had that that charisma, that appeal from just the cool. He's got the it factor.
Mm-hmm.
And who am I? Who am I to criticize him in that area? Because I'm the antithesis of that.
Well, I know that he's been letting that grow for a while. That is a good-looking fro. I mean, he's a good-looking man. He's got some swag. But I really enjoyed your chat, you and John talking to T.O. And Dirk, as always, I enjoy our Fridays. We'll see what tomorrow is like. That'll be something we've never, ever encountered before, especially the way that it's covered media-wise with, I think, the smallest group of people that have gone to cover a Nebraska road game ever.
Yeah, we've got two going, and it's going to be an interesting press box for sure, and it'll be that way next week at Memorial Stadium too. You know, one thought, it would be nice just to ease us back in emotionally to what's going to happen tomorrow if they could have like a 60-minute pregame deal at the Horseshoe where they just had the camera on the field the whole time. I feel like it's going to be really jarring when kickoff finally comes and it's like we've waited so long for it. And I know Fox is going to play it up and everything like that, but it's almost like one of those deals where I'm going to need more pregame sort of inching into the water than normal because I just feel like I've waited so long to see it.
Well, it'll be here now in less than 24 hours. Dirk, thanks. Have a great weekend.
Okay, take care.
That's Dirk Chatelain. Him and John Niatawa had a chance to talk to T.O. on their latest podcast. And if you were like, well, what does John's hair look like? All you got to do is see it. It's glorious. All right, 30 minutes to go on a Football Friday Fiesta. I'll give how I think it'll happen tomorrow. And plus, Chad, my UPS man, is now this going to be a weekly segment. He has predicted what he thinks will happen.
Oh, I love it.
And so we'll see how smart Chad is. He's a good football guy. Good Central Nebraska guy.
I like it.
All right. He's a diehard GBR. He put a lot of thought into this. So we will tell you what he picked. Plus, George, do you want to do a pick this year?
Sure.
I'm sure we got a TV we could give you. Justin, who thought he won a TV last hour, is not actually going to get it. Did you call him back?
He emailed me. I emailed him. Back. We'll call
did
you.
Did you guys? Is that real? I'm sorry. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.